Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on listener-supported KKRN Community Radio. Tonight we present two plays, Last Tunnel to Fresno and The Dick. Last Tunnel to Fresno is written by Firesign Theater and performed at the Magic Mushroom in Los Angeles and broadcast live on the radio way back in 1967. Any recordings of it made at the time are long lost. This will be the first time since 1967 that the show will be presented on the air. The action takes place during World War II inside a prisoner of war camp in Armenia.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scratched Up Radio Theater presents Firesign Theater's The Last Tunnel to Fresno.
The scene, occupied Armenia, 1942.
43.
Bitter cold whipping across the frozen tundra as a thin sun rises over Maximum Security Compound 13.
Ames?
Here.
Gridley?
Here.
Vigoda?
Here.
Leary? Friedland?
Yeah.
Vespucci?
And
Kosku?
Yeah.
Larson?
Here.
Hayakawa?
Hiya, Commandant.
Quiet. Gurdjieff?
Here, here.
Kitchener?
Here, here.
O'Brien?
Here.
Cohen?
Over there.
Usher?
Four.
Krishna?
Hari, Hari.
Remus?
Here.
Jones? Jones, Blind Little Willie, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Diana Ross, Watermelon, and the Supremes, Jones?
Who's playing Jones today?
I'll take it, here.
Why are you always so late, Jones?
I am just so shiftless. I've been that way ever since
quiet.
I was...
Oh, quiet. Vandermeer.
Yeah?
Sakharopoulos?
Yeah.
Artunian?
Morning, sir.
Henderson?
Jawohl, mein Kommandant.
Just a minute. Who is that man? Three steps forward.
Eins, zwei, drei. Yeah. Guten Morgen, mein Oberkommandant.
Are you sure you're Henderson? You don't look a thing like you. This man is a fraud.
Psst, Kommandant. You don't recognize me. I'm Van Meest, the Count Undercover Informer.
Oh, yes. Very clever disguise, Van Meest. All right, back into ranks. Henderson.
That was close, Henderson.
Chavez. Thanks, guys.
Brady?
Yeah.
Oswald?
Here.
Finnegan? Finnegan?
Wake him up.
Here again.
Llewellyn?
When you tunnel in the ground...
Where is that voice coming from?
Right under your feet, Commandant. And you're breaking out in song.
Breaking out in song again, are you, Llewellyn? Well, I'm glad to see you're happy.
All prisoners present and accounted for, Commandant.
Good. Now, men, since you are all going to be here for the duration, there are a few things we have to get straight. I am very pleased with your behavior the last few days, so the movies are on again. Tonight, the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Quiet! Quiet! You want another Andy Warhol festival? All right, then. Point Z. Yesterday, the officer's mess sank into the ground. I suspect the possibility of a tunnel.
What? No.
When you tunnel in the ground...
Shut up, Llewellyn. Let me reiterate. Escape is impossible. This is not the first time rumors have come into my ears concerning an escape plot. Is there perhaps any truth to these rumors?
Jawohl, mein Kommandant.
Shut up, Henderson.
Yeah, way to go. Nice going, Henderson. Henderson.
Thanks, guys.
There has never been an escape from the compound. And there will never be an escape from this compound. Or my name isn't Commandant Gruber. That is all. I'm leaving now.
Oh, no, you're not, Commandant Gruber. Let me see your nose.
Hey,
it's Henderson. Hey, look, it's Henderson.
And this should prove to you, men, that such tricks will not go undiscovered. Oh, my name is not Oberkommandant Herbst. I'm leaving now.
Oh, no, you are not, Oberkommandant Herbst. Because you're not Oberkommandant Herbst. Let me see your beard.
Ow!
Oh, yes, you are Oberkommandant Bertz. And I'm in trouble.
No, you're not. You're going to arrest. Take him away! No, not that one.
Thanks, guys.
I'm leaving now. I'll be back soon for inspection. Be ready.
All right, he's gone.
So what do we do now? Come on.
All right, chaps, gather round. We've got a lot to discuss and get done if we're going to be out here by tonight as planned. Now, Die, give your report on the water damage to Tunnel B.
When there's water in the mine, then the miner's gonna die.
Shh! Island.
Excuse me, sir, but I've got a fix on the commandant through the window here.
Good lad.
Way to go, kid.
Nice boy. He's going.
Nice.
He's entering the northwest corner of the compound. 1001, 1002. He's out of sight of the sentry tower. 1003, 1004. He's making a sharp 90-degree turn. 1005. Walking up the 36-degree rocky incline on a direct azimuth with his office, 1006, and he's in.
Well, Artunian?
Pi r squared, and take 6 from 34, carry the 2. Sir, the distance between here and the water tower has changed again. It's 42 yards this time, and the last 12 yards are out of the line of sight of the blockhouse.
Splendid, Artunian! And how does this fit into our escape plan?
Well, it doesn't exactly fit, sir. But don't you think it's interesting? I figured it out without any instruments.
Wunderbar, Tunian.
Gee, thanks, Anderson.
Now, then, we're all agreed. The escape plan will take place at midnight tonight through Tunnel R. Captain Delsups of our chief engineer will give us the final plan of maneuvers.
Well, we could use Tunnel R, sir, for a while, but we filled up the last half of it with dirt from Tunnel C, so we'll have to take a detour through Tunnel N.
Well, that's all right.
No, it's not, sir. You see, Tunnel N doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't?
Well, it does and it doesn't, sir. It does go all the way through to Tunnel O, but it's monsoon season in Tunnel O. But it does run pretty close to Tunnel P, which the Germans are using for training.
Oh, no matter what you say, I'll go home in Tunnel A.
Tunnel A is our best alternate route, sir. I think that...
Where does it begin?
Under the pseudo-latrine in the commandant's office. It's a sheer drop for about 1,000 yards.
Well, we can get used to that.
And then it gets a little nasty. But with a little luck and a full moon, I think we can make it.
Well then, there's nothing standing in our way.
Except for the inspection, sir. We have to dispose of all the dirt before the commandant returns.
Dirt? What dirt?
The overflow from Tunnel Z, sir. 10 tons of red clay.
When there's red clay on the floor, you'll stay a season more.
Shut up, Blue Valen.
Well, fill up the latrines with it.
They're already filled, Colonel, sir.
Then fill up the water tower.
Filled to the brim, sir. The commandant's been drinking red clay for the last 2 weeks. He's beginning to get suspicious.
He's putting on weight, though. Looking good.
Well, put it in your pockets and spread it around the yard.
If we spread around any more, sir, we won't be able to get out of the door.
That don't we all give up?
No, sure. Nice try.
Nice try. Good working.
Thanks, boys.
We can't build another pyramid. The commandant's taken away our chapel privileges.
That was my favorite. Wait a minute. Ashbury, weren't you a potter back in the States?
Yes, sir. But they drafted me anyways.
How long will it take to dispose of 10 tons of red clay?
Be ready by inspection, sir. Ready, sir.
Good show, Ashbury.
Acton! Inspection?
Hi, Commandant. Before we begin, the men would like to present you with a case of giant souvenir ashtrays made out of genuine red German clay.
Well, thank you, men. Ugh. Memories of San Diego, 1943.
42. Quiet, Henderson.
Thank you, boys.
But what will I use this for?
Here, have a cigar.
Very nice. What kind is it?
Henry Clay, Commandant.
Oh, well, I see you men have decorated the barracks very nicely. What is that huge red painting over there?
An original clay, sir.
Very good. And this life-size statue?
That's our tribute to the American fighting man, sir, Cassius Clay.
Oh, I didn't know you kept birds.
Those are our clay pigeons.
Ach du lieber, I dropped one.
Good work, Henderson.
We stand behind our guarantee. Give the commandant another 113-piece unbreakable genuine clay earthenware dinner set.
I appreciate this, boys, but what will I do with it?
Hayakawa.
Hiya, Field Marshal.
Give the Commandant something to eat, lad.
Oh, here is very special New Orleans Cleo treat.
Yum, yum, that's very good. What is it?
Clayfish.
Now, how about some music while you eat, Commandant?
You have a phonograph?
No, but we have a full-scale working clay model of our favorite singing group over in the corner.
Who are they?
The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Well, everything looks pretty much in order. Bed's made. Wait! What are these tablets under the bed?
The collected works of Adam Clayton Powell, sir.
All right, inspection's over. See you all tomorrow morning, as usual.
Oh, no, you won't mind, Uber-Commandant.
Henderson, what did you say?
I request permission to speak to you privately, unobserved by my friends, buddies, and fellow prisoners.
Fall in, Henderson.
Eins, zwei, drei!
So that's where I left Tunnel E.
When you're falling in the hole and you don't know where to go.
Quiet, Llewellyn.
All right now, enough of this. What is it, Henderson?
Tonight, midnight, escape from Tunnel A.
Henderson, you ninny. You're trying to throw me off the track. Tunnel A is my latrine, and nobody uses my latrine without my permission.
With your permission, sir.
You can't have it. So there is a plot. Who's in charge here?
Field Marshal Law here.
According to the Geneva Convention.
Tell the little crowd I'm in charge.
Quiet. Can't you see? Your plans will never succeed because your leaders have feet of clay. Perhaps the judicious application of some truth serum will get to the bottom of this. Who here is the weakest link?
Commandant, may I remind you, according to paragraph C, section 14 of the Geneva Convention, no allied prisoner of war may be unwillingly or unwillingly be subjected to unreasonable experiments and or torture. Except the Armenians. Artunian, front and center.
Yes, sir. Ready to do or die for Fresno, sir.
Dr. Von Filth, give him the shot. Start counting backwards from 100. You are going to sleep, Artunian. Your eyebrows are feeling drowsy. You are falling asleep. Now, is there an escape plan for tonight, Artunian? I want only the absolute truth.
The absolute truth? Form not different from emptiness. Emptiness is the form.
So, you won't talk. All right, all camp privileges are canceled, and there will be no movie tonight.
Great job.
Your escape is foiled. My latrine will be covered, even if I have to do it myself. Goodbye.
Sleep tight, man, Commandant.
Nice line, Henderson.
Thanks, boys.
All right, boys, the little crowd is on to us. It's obvious there's a stoolie here, and we have only a few minutes to weed him out. Rafferty.
Yes, sir.
Who is little Abner's girlfriend?
Daisy May, sir.
Not you. Wilson.
Yes, sir.
Who has the power to cloud men's minds?
Oh, that's easy, sir. The Shadow.
Not you. Henderson.
Yeah.
Who won the World Series in 1939?
Munich.
Not you. Artunian.
Yes, sir.
Who was the Assistant Secretary of the Interior under James K. Polk?
Maynard Keyes, sir?
He was the Postmaster General, you dirty, rotten Nazi stool pigeon.
Boo!
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't know.
Shut up. What shall we do with him?
I say, string him up. We're going to build him out in use for him.
Leave him behind. Good thinking, Henderson. Thanks, sir. All right, men. Now, let's all synchronize my watch. Mickey's big hand is at one.
1001, 1002.
Shut up, you yellow belly.
Now, lads, into the tunnel.
when you're digging in the mine and you're lowered to your death.
Let's go!
Let's hurry up. Come on, get in there!
So long, guys. If any of you get to Cleveland, will you look at my girl? She's married to a real nice guy named...
Hey, come on. Hey, get off my pants, Nate.
Now, if Artunian's calculations were correct, we should be just below the Commandant's office and just to the left of the movable water tower. We've got to observe strict discipline and order about this if we're going to get out with our lives. Ready? Now. Hop, two, three, four.
Hop, two, three, four.
Hop, two, three, four. When you're escaping from the mines, oh, you take the high road and I'll take the low road. I'll be in Fresno before you.
Of the 33 men who attempted this brave escape, the records of the War Office show conclusively that all but one are now safely selling life insurance in Cleveland, Ohio.
That was The Last Tunnel to Fresno, our special thanks to the Wallop High School of Mines and the Second World War, without which this story should never have been told. The Last Tunnel to Fresno was originally produced in the Welsh studios of the Firesign Theater in 1967.
Oh, you're digging with your pig and you hope to make a mound.
You have been listening to Last Tunnel to Fresno, written by the Firesign Theater and directed by Chris Gomez. It featured Linda Reagan, John Welsh, Don Singrani, Tazio Russo, Jim Dowling, and Chris Gomez. Our second play is Charlie Finkel's audio noir play, The Dick.
My name's Dick, Richard Dick, and I'm a dick. Private detective, that is. Some say that Dick Dick is a real dick. I am, and I'm proud of it, so call me what you will. My beat is Redding, that's Redding, California. Where's Redding, many ask? I answer that Redding lies in a sweet spot nestled at the tip of the Sacramento Valley with mountains on three sides, lakes nearby, and some of the best views an eye can see, at least when it's not hot and smoky. Which it is in the summer. I tell people it gets hot in Redding. Real hot. Like 100-degree plus hot. But it's a dry heat, if that makes any difference. It was on one really hot summer night that I met Doris. She entered my office like a moonbeam, clad in a white sleeveless summer dress, which clung to the sinuous curves of her very feminine body like saran wrap sticks to the uneaten sandwiches in my icebox. Being the observant Dick I am, I noticed at once she was in trouble.
Are you Mr. Dick?
That's me, Richard Dick. If you need a private detective, you've come to the right place. The beauty began to cry. Tears flowed down from her beautiful green eyes like water down the Sacramento River.
I need help, Mr. Dick. I'm in trouble. Really big trouble.
Sit down, sweetheart. I took a chance in calling her sweetheart. They can get you in a lot of trouble these days. But I decided to risk it. I'm a good judge of character, and my gut told me this dame didn't mind being called sweetheart. What's your name, sweetheart?
Doris, and I'd appreciate it if you don't call me sweetheart.
Sometimes I get it wrong. Okie dokie, Doris. It's getting late and my gut is aching for some chow. So make it short if you can and get to the point. Why do you need a private detective?
It's a long story, Mr. Dick, but I'll try to make it short.
I'm hungry, Missy, so give me the Cliff Notes version.
Please don't call me Missy. My name is Doris.
Okay, honey, go ahead.
It happened last Saturday night. I was by myself, walking over the Sundial Bridge. I often walk alone at night. I like to stand on the bridge, right at the middle, and look down at the fast-flowing water. The water level was high and really flowing fast.
You're making me want to go pee, Doris. Get to the point.
Sorry. I'll try. I thought I was alone on the bridge, but I was wrong. As I looked down at the water, the fast-flowing water, I sensed other beings nearby. I was right. There were two men coming from the direction of Turtle Bay, dragging something big. As they got closer, I saw it was a body. They lifted it up over the rail of the bridge and dropped it into the river. It was then that they saw me. My heart sank like an anchor in fast-flowing water.
Doris, if you would excuse me for a moment, I have to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. I left her alone in my office. All that talk of fast-flowing water was just too much. When I returned from emptying my bladder, Doris was still in the chair where I'd last seen her. I took a quick glance at my desk to see if anything was missing or out of place. But the pen was where I'd left it, and she hadn't touched the unlit cigar nestled in its ashtray or the bourbon in a glass. Okay, Doris, go on. You were on the bridge and two men dropped what you think was a body into the Sacramento River. What happened then?
After they let go of the body, they noticed me. I panicked. Where would I go? The men were coming from the direction of where my car was parked. I didn't want to go in the opposite direction, as it was dark, and who knows what dangers lurked on the river trail over there. And I certainly didn't want to jump into the water, that fast-flowing water.
Okay, Doris, I stipulate that the water under the bridge was flowing fast. You don't have to keep saying it. I don't want to have to make another trip to the little boy's room if you catch my drift.
Sorry.
So, what did you do?
I froze. My body went limp, Mr. Dick. I simply could not move, no matter how hard I tried. It was hot, real hot, and I was sweating profusely. All I could do was stand there and sweat and watch as these two men, probably murderers, who just disposed of a body, got closer and closer to me.
I pictured her hot and sweating. Not a bad image, I might add. And then?
And then they came right up to me. One of them spoke.
Good evening, he said. A little late for a lady as pretty as you to be all alone on the Sundial Bridge at this late hour. What are you doing here?
I noticed he was wearing a T-shirt which said, Frank Salvage. I told them I liked to be alone and liked to look at the fast-flowing water under the bridge.
She just wouldn't shut up about that fast-flowing water. Doris, I'll be right back. At my age, trips to the bathroom were frequent, but this was getting ridiculous. When I returned, Doris was no longer in the chair. She was standing by the window, staring out onto the streets of Redding. Moonlight shimmered in her long blonde hair, making it look almost like a waterfall. I again inventoried the items on my desk to make certain she hadn't messed with them. The pen, cigar, ashtray, and bourbon were right where I had left them. Some names you can trust, and this was one of them. Sorry about that, Doris. Go on.
I thought they were going to kill me, or kidnap me, or do something horrible like that. But they didn't. The same man spoke again.
Well, sweetheart, you shouldn't be out here alone at night. You can't trust people these days. Best that you move on and forget that you saw us here tonight.
And did you move on?
Not at first. I was angry. Don't call me sweetheart, I admonished them. I have a name, Doris Derriere. The man replied,
Okay, Doris Derriere, best to move on. Have a good night, Doris Derriere.
So, did you move on?
I did, just like they said.
So what's the problem? Why does a nice girl like you need a dick?
I'd prefer you refer to me as a woman, Mr. Dick. My days as a girl are long gone. The problem is that I foolishly gave them my name. Doris Derriere. I am the only Doris Derriere in Reading. They probably know where I live and may even be spying on me.
So why not go to the police?
And I thought you were a good private detective, Mr. Dick. Can't you deduce that if I went to the police, those thugs would come after me? My dead body would probably be the next thing they were throwing in the river. I need protection, Mr. Dick. I need you to find some way to keep those goons away from me.
I thought it over for a few seconds. This probably was not up my alley. I am not a bodyguard, I'm a dick. But as Doris stood by the window with moonlight in her hair and her green eyes staring longingly at me, I didn't want to get rid of her just yet. Okay, Doris, guarding bodies really is not my forte, but I'll tell you what I will do. I'll look into this to see if I can find out what those guys were really doing on the bridge and try to determine whether you really are in danger.
Would you, Mr. Dick? That would be great. Just great.
I informed Doris of my fees, $150 a day plus expenses. Typically, I ask for a $500 retainer, but in this beauty's case, I waived it. She agreed to pay, gave me her address and phone number, and left me to my cigar and bourbon. Well, I told you I was a pretty good dick. It didn't take me long to get to the bottom of this caper. Doris was observant and remembered the T-shirt on the guy that spoke to her had on it Frank Salvage. I tracked the business to a junkyard on Highway 273 in Reading. I cased the joint for a few nights and tracked what was going on. Two guys would take junk and toss it in the river. The body Doris thought she saw was just junk. They were litter bugs, not murderers. When I was certain I'd solved the case, I called Doris and asked her to have dinner with me at In-N-Out. I wanted to impress her. She agreed. I got to the restaurant early. I wasn't sure what Doris would like to eat, but since she agreed to meet me there, I deduced she liked meat. So I took the liberty of ordering her a burger, fries, and a shake. I got the same for myself, but made my burger a double. When Doris sauntered into the place, all I could focus on was her. Blaring over the loudspeaker was, "Guest number 939, your order is ready." That was my number, but they had to repeat it 5 times because all I could see or hear was Doris.
In-N-Out is my favorite place. How did you know?
I'm a dick, Doris, and I'm good at what I do. I told her what I'd learned and that she had nothing to worry about. She seemed at ease. We ate our burgers, dipped fries into the tiny ketchup holders, and sipped our shakes, all the while staring into each other's eyes. I decided then and there to waive my fees. It didn't take long for Doris Derriere to become Doris Dick. It's funny where one finds love. In my case, it was at an In-N-Out in Reading.
You have been listening to The Dick, by Charlie Finkel and featuring John Welsh and Linda Reagan. Our technical director, as always, is Lily Dubois. I am your host, Dickie Magadoff. Good night, and thanks for listening to Scratched Up Radio Theater.